Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging around with me. It's my pleasure to be part of your day and be able to spend some time with you. And also to introduce you to some really cool people. You know, that's one of my favorite things that I get to do every week is I get to introduce you. I get to meet myself, but also and get to know, but also to work with and introduce to you some really smart people. As you know, I've made you this promise before. No chopped liver on the Small Business Advocate Show, only the best for my audience. And I think you can tell that my guests, our Brain Trust members, continue to prove that our commitment to you in that regard is we've held that up to a high standard. Matthew Scott is going to help us increase that standard even more. He's the founder of Life's Work Group. He's a professional coach, but that's not what he's always done. He's been an entrepreneur in the past and a very successful one, and he still is, but now he wants to help people like you and me to become more, not only more successful as entrepreneurs, but also happier and more fulfilled. And he's our new friend. Matthew, welcome back to the show.
Jim, it's a pleasure to be here.
It's good to have you back. I mean, it's good to have you here, I guess I should say, because this is the first time you've been on the show. I feel like we've known each other. Of course, we have talked, but this is the first time you've been on the show, isn't it?
I think we're old souls, Jim.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. Of course, I think part of that is the military background. You know, there's something about the military that bonds people together, isn't it?
It is, and it's a fraternity that extends into the business world even today.
There's no question about it, and there's something about military people, the bearing that they have. You can almost see it when you watch people, even before you know whether they have, you know, whether you know before you know their story. You can often see the military bearing in them, can't you?
Well, you can, and it's the greatest leadership laboratory available today. And we've got young men and women who are taking those experiences as leaders and translating that into the business world. And as a matter of fact, I just recently have issued an opportunity to serve the Wounded Warrior Project, where we at Duct Tape Marketing are serving wounded warriors, young men and women, to take those experiences and apply them to the business world. So we're excited about serving that community.
Good for you, and I'm proud of you for doing that. Well done. Okay, now you one of the things you want to talk about today is this whole thing of the combining the personal and the professional, and it's tough, isn't it, especially for small business owners. And you know, we talk a lot is being said about helping women, you know, put their act together, but there's not a whole lot that's being said about men, is there?
Well, there really isn't. As a matter of fact, if you went to Google and you typed in men leaving corporate America, the first so many articles that will come up will be women leaving corporate America. So, you know, just because there is not a lot of talk about it does not mean that there is not a struggle. And so, in my case, I've adopted or coined a term, and it's a play on words, called men at pause. So whenever I say that, I get quite a few chuckles from, from both men and women, but it kind of delivers the point. And the point is that for executive men, especially those who are transitioning from corporate America to becoming solopreneurs and entrepreneurs, work is truly an anchor. It's our purpose, and more importantly, it's an identity. And as a result, when work becomes our self-identity, it's fraught with all kinds of problems. So you're exactly right. There's not a lot of talk about that, and I believe, and I happen to believe that this work balance myth, primarily for the way that executive men make decisions, is truly a failure. And if you want to change a man's personal life, my suggestion is let's start with his professional life and finding work that matters, and the personal significance will trail right along.
Mm-hmm. Do you see this? Do you think that this is a serious problem in the marketplace? Is it a, you know, I mean, should I use the word Do you think it's a serious problem?
It truly is. I mean, when
is it epidemic?
It's epidemic because work is considered socially acceptable. And the issue is not whether men are working too many hours. The issue is that are men really there at work because they're feeling guilty about not being able to duck out at 5:30 for their son's Little League game, or are they really there at home? And it is such an epidemic, and I know that you travel a lot as well. And when you're sitting next to the gentleman who's in 17C on that American Airlines flight with you, invariably, and this is, I think, surprising to a lot of people, the talk will go to, wow, is this job either sucking the life out of me, or do I have a life outside of work? And so although men choose to communicate how work is impacting them very, very carefully, it is an epidemic, and a lot of men will just simply chalk it up and say, well, you know what, the reason why I'm working so hard and the reason why I'm staying in this job that I hate is for my family.
Now, we know that women reflect on these things a lot. They're really good at that. They're really good at making connection with their, with how they feel about things and all that. Guys, not so much. So are you saying that the guys have a more difficult time being honest with themselves about this?
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. You know, what we find with a lot of men is that in my coaching practice, the menopause coaching practice, is that it is tough for men to communicate, certainly in a group setting. And so one of the things that I realized early on was is how do you ignite or create an invitation to have a conversation with other men? And outside of kind of, once again, that fraternity of, you know, six or seven close-knit men in the work community around the water cooler, men really don't have a formal or informal accountability group of other men, and it's truly a challenge.
We don't really begin conversations or find ourselves in the venues where that kind of information can be expressed, and even if we did, I'm not sure how it would come up.
Yeah, it can often be determined that it's a sign of weakness instead of a sign of strength, and I find that the men that I work with, and certainly through my own experiences, that it's becoming more acceptable. And once again, I think the emphasis needs to be put on the fact that, you know, executive men who have the opportunity to talk about, you know, what's a challenge for them at work are really going to be a new breed of executives.
Mm-hmm. We're going to take a quick break and come back and talk some more about this with Matthew Scott, founder of Life's Work Group. And we're going to find out how this plays out in the small business world right after these messages, 20 after. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
During the past 10 years, the Small Business Advocate has become the major source of information for the small business community.
Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. Thanks very much for joining me. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. Use those to your advantage. No barrier to entry if you can get there. We'll let you hang out and use our stuff to your advantage. Lots of stuff there. Please use it. Matthew Scott is our guest, the founder of Life's Work Group. Matt, give us your website, please.
You bet. It is www.life, that's spelled L-I-F-E-S, work, group.com.
All right, so check that out, folks. And what do they find when they get there, Matt?
When they get there, they're going to have choice, which is always a good thing in a website, and that choice will lead you down the direction of either personal or professional.
All right, and let's talk about this. You know, I think the corporate America is changing grudgingly into the 21st century, because I think they have to, because there's so many opportunities today, Matthew, for people to leave corporate America and start their own business, as I did, you know, and as millions of men, and right now we're just talking about men. We do plenty of shows on ladies, folks, as you well know, but this is all about the guys. This during this conversation, there are plenty of opportunities, Matt, to go out and start our own businesses. And more guys, they may not be talking about it. They may not be, you know, having a coffee clutch about it with anybody. They just been thinking about it on their own, and they're just doing it.
Well, they are doing it, and they're doing it in droves, and it's going to mirror what we're seeing in the military, where the best and the brightest have really answered that call to service, and they're going to begin to ask themselves the quality of life questions,
yep.
which will determine whether they're going to stay or whether they're going to go. So it's truly a call to corporate America that says, if you want to retain the best and the brightest, then you must, you know, be smart about keeping them. And it's also a call that men are leaving corporate America with great ideas, with great talent, and they're starting new careers based on that quality of life.
But isn't this creating, we talked about the epidemic earlier, isn't this creating more peace and tranquility because people actually, I can remember way back in my 23 years with corporate America, I can remember times when I didn't feel like I had a lot of choices.
You bet.
But as we moved into the end of the 20th century, and certainly today, I feel like that men have lots of choices. I mean, aren't things better now than they used to be?
Things are better, and men are choosing to remain in corporate America or leave corporate America for different reasons. But things are better because, as we know, there is a war on talent, whether you're
yep.
doing that as a solopreneur or whether you are part of a company. And my story is, and your story is probably similar in that we had every opportunity to remain in corporate America. We progressed in corporate America. We enjoyed corporate America. But something was missing. And I think that that's something for many men, and one path to maintaining a better quality of life for some men is becoming an entrepreneur.
Well, that's exactly right. And see, I remember... You talked earlier about having the conflict between your job and taking care of your kids. I mean, one of the things that I was able to do when I had my small business when my kids were teenagers was I was able to, even in the early days through technology, I was able to do time shifting
mm-hmm.
and be with my kids. And it took a little extra toll on me because I had to do some things that I had to work a little later maybe than I would like, but mainly I was able to move things around on my schedule because of I had my own business and because of technology.
Well, I feel the same way as an entrepreneur. I've been able to make decisions at that intersection of professional success and personal significance, and I think that's a great place to be.
So what does all this mean, Matt? Well, talk to us about what you think. I mean, you've drawn some conclusions. You've come to some conclusions about what all this means in the greater, the greater marketplace. What are you seeing?
Well, what I see is that the reality for many executive men is not that we don't want to change. It's just that we don't know that we need to. So that's one issue. I think that men inherently don't know how to pause in a busy work life. And oftentimes it takes a crisis or a wake-up call to cause us to make some type of change. I think that...
We feel like if we pause, something, whatever's coming at us is going to gain on us.
You bet. And once again, it's part of who we are as men. It's part of how we are wired that, we are, essentially are linear creatures, if you will. And oftentimes we're moving so fast and so hard in one direction that we don't recognize or acknowledge the gentle nudges that can get our attention. I think that men will continue to attempt to get our self-identity needs met first at work versus outside of work. And what I have found in my studies is that we have a generation of men, and we have other men that are leaving corporate America, that instead of coming home and really not being there because they're putting all of their identity needs met in who they are at work, those days are starting to become over with for so
mm-hmm.
many men who have the confidence to say, I truly have work that matters. It's
mm-hmm.
making a difference for me and for other
mm-hmm.
for other people, and I no longer have to cling to, quote-unquote, who I am at work.
And I can actually be fulfilled in personal and professional.
Absolutely. And what you
yep.
will find is that these are strong men. These are warriors
yep.
who
Absolutely.
Are successful in business.
Absolutely. No question about it. And that's one of the reasons why, Matthew, I've been saying since the last century that the 21st century is the century of the entrepreneur.
It is.
Yeah. Hey, Matthew, thank you for being here. Give us the website again, please.
You bet. It is www.lifeswork.group.com. And I thank you so much for all that you do for the small business community.
Thanks, Matthew. See you next time. Matthew Scott, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.